views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Moms, are you ready to become enlightened, empowered, and stress-free? Well, get ready because you are about to tune into vibrant, powerful moms helping everyday women create an extraordinary life with Debbie Pokornik. Each week, Debbie discusses topics to help you become self-aware, inspired, and on track to create the life you crave. It's time to stop settling and start thriving. And it all begins now on Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone, to the Vibrant, Powerful Mom Show. This is a podcast focused on helping you realign with your vibrant, powerful self so that you can fully enjoy the life you've come here to live. I'm your host, Debbie Pokornik, and today I am super pumped to share a very special guest who is going to help you discover the secret to a deep inner presence while owning the room and captivating everyone around you. Doesn't that sound like fun? I know I'm in. So let me share a bit about my guest and then we'll deep dive into this tantalizing topic. Laura Baxter, the American opera singer and performance coach, has studied the effects of the voice and body on nonverbal communication and leadership for over 25 years. And she brings this experience together to help her clients perform and communicate better. In addition to her many stage performances, Laura was the singing voice of Faye Dunaway in the feature film, A Handmaid's Tale. A recipient of the prestigious Louis Sudler Award for the Arts at Emory University, Laura is co-author of several German books and, this is so exciting, her new book, Dealing with Divas and Other Difficult Personalities, is actually set to release right now. I mean, hot off the presses. So in case you're listening to this later, it released in May 2017. But if you're on time listening to this now, then hold on to your hats because this show or this book is releasing right now. Laura lives and works in Germany with her husband and two children. Welcome to the Vibrant, Powerful Mom community, Laura. It is such an honor to have you with us here today.
Thank you, Debbie. It's an honor to be here.
Awesome. So I mentioned that it's May, and here in North America, that means that it's Mother's Day. Now, I honestly think it should be Mother's Month, or maybe actually, no, let me change that. Mother's Weekends, and we should get to have them once a month. How's that sound?
I love it.
So in honor of this, and since your bio mentioned that you have two wonderful kids, perhaps we could begin with you sharing with us who your role models are as far as mothering and work are concerned.
Oh, that's a wonderful question. My role models as far as mothering, my very first and most important role model is my own mother. We were very, very close. She passed away about 2 years ago now. But we were very close. And I think I learned from her not only how to be a good mother, but how to be a good mother at the same time as having a career. Mm-hmm. She went back to work when I was, according to her, so where I got the information, she went back to work when I was 6 months old. And she managed literally to be the major breadwinner in our family. She was, so in that respect, I remember always having this respect for what she did and an understanding that I could have it all. I could have the family and the career. I could, it's an organizational thing, but I could do it if that's what I wanted. And I have to say, she was also someone who always supported me, both with raising our children, and as well as supporting me in my career and singing and traveling and everything else. So she would definitely be the first role model. Other role models, I have a lot of role models as far as my career goes. other role models, mothers who also continue to sing or work. Spontaneously, there was a wonderful singer, Mame Pataki, who was my mentor in learning several different roles. And she was somebody who managed to have this huge singing career as well as being a mother. And I think I often looked to Mame and to other colleagues like Mame, just to know that, you know, it is possible. If you can keep going, you can find, if you find resources, the resources, then you can make it happen.
Nice. And of course, that is more than just saying you can work, right? And raise kids, because we all know that we can do that. It's not easy, but we can do that. But this is talking about having a career, having something that you want to be a growing, living entity along with your family, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I find the fact that you're an opera singer so amazing. And your ability to use what you learned in that part of your life to assist your clients and help them with their own communication, that's just brilliant. I love the idea of taking this part of yourself that's so artistic and then bringing it in and saying, how do I use this to help people in the world of work? And so is there anything that we can learn from, you know, being on the operatic stage to help us be vibrant and powerful moms?
Oh, definitely. I think there are things that I used from my stage life in raising our kids. I think if I had to describe what we could learn from the stage in being moms, powerful and vibrant moms, is probably two elements. One is how, when you've got stress coming at you at all from all directions, and I think everyone listening to this, every single mother out there knows what stress is more than anything else. I remember I was singing in Tel Aviv, and my daughter, I was pregnant with my son, and my daughter was at that point 3 years old. And I remember very distinctly, my daughter was still in Germany with my husband. And I remember going from one rehearsal to another, and all of the other singers complaining about how hard we were working and, you know, how difficult it is and everything else. And all I could do was smile. Because I thought, you know, this is nothing compared to being at home and you know, having the kids and juggling everything together. It was like vacation for me.
Right.
Stress, if you are a mother, then you know stress in so many ways. You know, the stress of just trying to organize everyone in the house, the stress of trying to not only keep on top of the schedule and making sure that things work, but also the stress of wondering whether or not you're doing everything right. And I'm not even beginning to talk about if you are also working at the same time.
Mm-hmm. For money outside of the home.
Wonderful clarification. Thank you. That is so true. Thank you. Yes. Working outside of the home where you actually get paid for it. And I think one of the things we can learn from the stage as far as dealing with that kind of stress is actually how to remain centered, how to continue to breathe deeply, how to actually stay focused. And one of the things I do with my clients is not only a deep breath exercises so they can find a deep breath, but also to help them connect to their inner resources, the essence of who they are. So one of the best ways of doing this is just have a mantra for yourself. One of my favorites is I choose love.
Yes, good one.
Without really knowing what it means and knowing and not even trying to interpret or think too much about it, just to say it yourself over and over again. That's something that I've actually used on the stage quite a bit when I've concerned whether or not I'll do a performance well or not, you know. I just start saying to myself, you know, I choose love, whatever it means, I choose love, and saying it over and over again and being sent, it brings you to sort of an inner peace where you can deeply breathe, where you can be connected to yourself again. And through that love, you know, it doesn't matter if you're getting your family ready to go in the morning or if you're
here in Germany, we actually still iron. You're ironing something, you know, whatever. That moment, you're connected to the person you're doing it for and the people. And I think as a mom, that is so important.
Right. So I'm having a little bit of trouble with the recording here, Laura. And so I'm just forewarning you, your voice is kind of fading in and out. And I don't think that's your microphone, but hopefully we'll be able to get good enough quality despite that, be able to work around it, because I love, love, love what you're sharing. So isn't that the truth, though, this the whole idea of the mantra and having something so simple, like mine is that I'm grateful, I have gratitude. And it's as simple as that, but the whole idea is when I think it, that I actually take a moment to feel it. Yeah. And like you say, it's not a big process. It's not something that has to be yet one more task on your to-do list. It's just like a simple little way for me to flip from whatever I might be getting upset about to whatever it is I'm grateful for. And there's always something there to be grateful for, you know? Even if it is because I'm happy that the bird poop just hit my shoulder instead of my hair. You know, it's a matter of perception. But in that moment, just figuring out what is it that's there. So I love the idea of having a mantra like I am great, or okay, tell me yours again, because my brain.
I choose love.
There we go. I was thinking I am love. Well, that's a good one too, but I choose love. Love it.
In my book, I've got a chapter. I think you'll like this one. I've got a chapter that's called The Four Most Powerful States.
Oh, yes. And yes. And I want to talk about those in a few minutes. So especially because we are talking about being vibrant, powerful moms. And I found that very intriguing that you have.
Yeah. What you said with your mantra is, it's just, it's what made me think of that. And that is the four states, and we'll talk about them in more detail later, but are those two, the most powerful states, two of them are the state of love and the state of gratitude.
Oh.
Being grateful for, you know, what you have. So your mantra of gratitude is absolutely essential, really essential.
Nice. So I want to get into your book in just a moment. Mm-hmm. But before we do, having taken a look at the title of it before, and then you and I had talked previously. And so I'm guessing from that most of your coaching work is with people in leadership positions.
Yes.
So how does that tie in with being a great mom? This is actually one of my favorite topics, but I'll reel myself in and give you the floor.
A friend of mine who actually is a stay-at-home mom, she said that we were out somewhere and someone asked her what she does, and she says, I'm the executive of a small family business, and my responsibilities include leadership, organization, payroll, and she just went through the whole list. It was hysterical. There is no, in my opinion, no more important role, leadership role, than that of a parent.
Yeah.
Not just moms, also, you know, obviously the dads are also important. And there is, in my opinion, literally no role that demands more leadership skills than being a parent. Because you're, at the moment that child is born, you are taking on the role of educating the child, giving the child his or her values, being a mentor for the child, literally showing both by example, by, I guess we would say, word and deed, mm-hmm. how that child can be a successful person in society and how that child can also be a successful leader. And I've also found from the other side, and just that leaders, executives who are parents, tend to have better leadership skills automatically through the situation of parenting than those who've never experienced that.
Right. Absolutely. And that, to me, I'm often saying to people, you know, the same skills that you are using at work, you can bring home. They don't have to, like, they don't have to sit in your briefcase by the door. No. You can bring them in and use them here. And I mean, those are skills like explaining things in such a way that the person understands it so they can turn around and do it on their own the next time. Because it's critical as a leader, right, to get your staff able to do that. And it's critical as a mom.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the most challenging situation about having a child in regards to leadership is you have this person who you love unconditionally. Mm-hmm. And this person may or may not obey you. And I mean, if I look at my children, most of the time may not obey you. Right. And your job is, in this position, is guiding this person to actually learn to be a responsible adult, even when they don't want to do something that you think they ought to do. And I mean, one example, let me take the reverse kind of side of that. Mm-hmm. In working with executives, I often run into executives that think they can just order their employees around.
Yes.
I'm the boss and I'm doing the payroll. So if I say you do this, then you do this. And they don't even think twice about how they can motivate their employees. And they're very surprised and shocked and angry and frustrated when their employees don't do what they say.
Right.
And one of the things I have to do with them is help them to take a step back to realize this person, this employee, is incredibly valuable and they need this person. They've got to find other ways of communicating with the person and also motivating the person to help that person be self-motivated.
Right.
And as a parent, just by the nature of the relationship, that's one of our main jobs, is helping our children to become self-motivated, responsible adults.
Right. And I love the piece, if I can just tie it in there, that you basically alluded to, which is that you're not trying to make a mini-me, right? You're trying to guide this child towards being the best version of themselves that they can possibly be. And so they're not always going to agree with doing things the way you do them. And that's okay. I mean, there's times where safety is an issue that you have to put your foot down, but there's plenty of times where it would be okay for them to go out wearing two different colored socks or, you know, whatever the case might be.
Anyway, absolutely. And that is, you know, it would be awful if our children all ended up being just copies of us.
Oh, absolutely. It would be. And I love what you said there about the boss, because I'm always telling people anyone can be bossy. Not everyone can be a great boss.
Yep.
So learning the difference between those two things, whether we're talking about parenting or being a leader in the work environment, it's the same thing. You know, how do you go from just being bossy to being a great boss?
Yeah.
So
it's not easy. You've got to be creative.
As you,
parent, you've got to be creative.
Oh, yeah. Gosh, yes, you have to flex that creative muscle. And it's so wonderful when you really give yourself permission to do that. So speaking of being creative, let's delve into your book a little bit, because I love the title. I can see this, you know, you have Dealing with Divas and Other Difficult Personalities, A Mindful Approach to Improving Relationships in Your Business or Organization. And I can just picture that DIVA, which I happen to know is also the acronym for your book, which is beautiful. But I can picture this DIVA, you know, walking through a room and completely disrupting everything because it's all about her and all about drama, you know, and all that. So can you give us just a quick little overview of your book, especially as it relates to home life?
Oh, yeah, gladly. Yeah. The book itself, the goal of the book is that the reader learns how, or has gets the tools that she needs to be able to stay centered, calm, and focused while she's working with her diva. And there's the second goal of the book is that the reader gets her goals done. I don't know if you've ever been to any family gatherings. So, I mean, when the book was written for the business and organization world, there's no tighter organization than the organization of a family.
Right.
And I don't know if you've ever been to a family gathering where, you know, people just, especially if it's like Thanksgiving, for example, where we're not all members of the family, as a family are getting along. I mean, you know, that there's also the sort of, you know, 3-day rule sometimes in our family where after a couple of days you get along perfectly. And then on that third day, you know, the personalities just sort of start to rub against each other. So this whole idea of divas, the book itself is written for businesses and organizations. It fits perfectly to the family situation. A diva is, I mean, as you described, when we think of the word diva, we think stereotypically of somebody who's very dominant, somebody who's larger than life, who comes into the room, starts commanding everyone around, et cetera. But that is actually only one type of personality that we consider, any of us consider difficult. A person who has that type of personality, somebody who is very dynamic and dominant and you know, really owns the room, that type of person actually finds other people like him or herself attractive. The other dynamic people are not at all difficult for a dynamic, dominant person, as they're actually very attractive. They're just similar. A very dynamic person would find someone, for example, who's very introverted, difficult.
Yes.
They would find someone who has a difficult time making a decision, that is very process oriented and needs to do, you know, steps X, Y, and Z before they can even begin to think about making a decision. That would drive somebody who is dynamic and dominant, that would drive them crazy. Mm-hmm. For them, the person they would consider to be a diva who's trying to control the situation would be much more this more introverted personality who understand all the data and the facts and trying to get more information. Do you understand what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I have all these examples that kind of pop into my mind. I know I have one friend who's very dynamic and she gets so frustrated with weakness.
she
labels someone as weak because they don't want to be the center of attention. And she's like, I just don't get that.
Yeah, exactly. That is exactly what I mean. And basically in the book, it's not about becoming friends with these people that you find difficult. It's about understanding them better, understanding yourself better, mm-hmm. understanding your goals and understanding their goals so that you can actually accomplish that which you need to accomplish.
Right.
And that is so important in families because, I mean, quite honestly, Debbie, often our children, as wonderful as they are and as much as we love them, often even they have different personalities than we would prefer. You know, I had a dear friend of mine told me the other day, you know, I love my child, but I don't really like him, you know? And I said, oh dear, you know? And that's, but I understand that because he's got a very different personality than she does.
Yes.
And she finds it difficult, you know, to begin to understand how he ticks. And as soon as we begin to understand, though, that the world inside of our heads is different than the world inside of anybody else's head, that we can't just assume what somebody else is thinking or feeling, we can't even assume that we begin to understand them, then we can actually take a step back and begin to ask questions that actually bring us into a state of understanding.
Which is what relationship building truly is.
It is.
Love it.
Yeah. Yes. And this understanding, these asking the questions and learning more about the other person, the step before that really needs to be in place is the ability to be in our own center, being calm, being in a strong inner state so that you don't react emotionally, but you react that you have the ability to ask the necessary questions to find out, to create an understanding, to be able to then work together to find solutions.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. That is, I often talk about that as the difference between having your ego run the show and calling in your higher self, because you have that connection to that calm, centered part of you. You're not taking things personally, but instead hearing what they're really saying and really trying to understand what that other person is saying. So I love this. This is so much about building strong relationships, and that is what family is all about.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm. The book in general is divided, you mentioned before the acronym, it's divided into four parts. Uh-huh. The part itself is the D, so defining the situation in which you encounter the person you find difficult. So let's just take the Thanksgiving dinner example. Defining that situation, one time a year we have to come together and have this dinner together, for example. But it's a little more engaged and a little more complex than that, but literally just black and white on the paper, looking at how you encounter your diva. And the second part of it is creating a strong inner state. So basically what my goal is in this part is to help you have many, many, many tools so that you can remain centered and calm and focused. Many of these tools are actually from the stage, things that we use in acting and singing. And the third part, the V, is the valuing the other person and valuing yourself. And in this part of the book, we go into different personality structures, different needs, and how really to assess who the other person is and who you yourself are. And then in the last part, it's actually coming into the relationship, associating, being willing to come into the relationship with the other person so that you can reach your goals.
Beautiful. So I know for the analyticals out there, your second step, what was the actual I word in there?
Thank you very much. For the analyticals out there, the I is the inner state.
Inner state, of course. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's beautiful. Love it, love it, love it. And you know, one of the things that really jumped out at me that I just think is so important is at the beginning of your book description, you were mentioning that, and I can't remember exactly how you said it, but it was the idea of coming into contact with your own inner diva, because we all have that piece of us. And that doesn't mean that she's this super dynamic part of you, that it's not a stereotype, but we all have that piece, and really connecting with that piece of ourselves helps us to be whole. And that's the best place to start any relationship with anyone else from, or with anyone else, is from that place of wholeness, right?
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah. So Laura, I have to move us along here because we're just eating up the time, and I'm so loving this that I think we could go on and on and on, but let's go back to those four powerful states, because we've already given the two of them inadvertently. I would love to know all four of them.
Okay. We've already talked about with the state of love and the state of gratitude. Those are the two strongest, I would say. And the other two states are the state of forgiveness. The ability to actually, forgiveness itself is not, it's not an event, it's a process.
Right.
And in order to be able to forgive, it's really a conscious decision to decide to be in this state. Just like it's a conscious decision with your mantra with gratitude, or mine with love. And then the fourth state's my favorite, actually. The fourth state is play, the state of play.
Hmm.
I have found in my work that one of the best things you can do before you go on the stage, or before you're going into a difficult meeting with someone, before you know that you're going to have, before you have a difficult telephone call or something of that sort, is just to take a moment and think, I want to play with this person. And it was full of respect, full of mindfulness, open awareness. I want to come into play with this person. That gives us a strength. If you're sitting, you know, one example of play, for example, is flirting.
Yes.
Another example of play is just being, you know, joyful as you're going into, you know, let's see what comes out of this.
Mm-hmm.
The state of play is the fourth of those very, very powerful states.
Yes. You know, I love that. I love it, love it. And it just reminds me, the other day my husband was out of town, and he texted me to say that the a taxi driver had a death wish that he was driving like a maniac. And my husband's a really calm and cool cucumber. He's not easily bothered by things like this. You know, he flies airplanes and drives motorcycles and, you know, so that was saying a lot. And I texted him back some kind of little joke, and his response told me that he was taking this very seriously, that he really wasn't sure if he was going to get out of the cab alive. So I texted him back and I said, well, I've asked Archangel Michael to protect you and keep you safe from any unnecessary drama in your life. So as long as, you know, you're not meant to actually be in an accident, you won't be. So maybe you should pretend that you're on a grand adventure and that you really are one of those detectives people we read about, that, you know, in a high-speed chase and just have some fun with it. So he texted back laughing that, yeah, okay, that'll be fun. But it is a state of play. It's shifting that mind from a place where it was going, which sounded like fear and very unlike him, you know, to a state of playfulness and going, well, you know what, if this is it, if this is the end, then I'm at least going to go out having fun.
Yeah. I mean, and what you just said is so important. One of the most influential books way back when I began as an adult, my spiritual journey, was a book that I read called Love is Letting Go of Fear. Mm-hmm. And what you just said about fear, the strength of play and the strength of love and forgiveness and gratitude is it brings us out of fear.
Right.
And that is so important, because so many people let fear, and we as parents, we let fear often control our decisions, you know, especially mothers, especially if we are doing the dual thing, even if we're not doing the dual thing of career and family. How often do we feel guilty that we're doing something wrong? You know, that happens so often.
Oh yes, the second guessing is unreal. The guilt, all of that, thinking that, okay, I'm messing this up for sure.
Totally. Oh, totally. Please. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But that, all of that, that second guessing, the doubts, the guilt, it's all based on fear. It's really founded in fear. And when we can let go of that and go into these other states, you know, love and gratitude and play and forgiveness, so much stronger and so much healthier for the whole family, not just for the kids, but for us as well.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. It makes life so much more fun, which is why I'm often focusing people back on the separation between the ego and the higher self, because the ego lives in a state of fear out of necessity. So yeah. I love, love, love what you have been sharing with us, Laura. There's so much here, and there's so much more that we could talk about. So I really want to give people a chance to find out a bit more about the book, because it is coming out either today or tomorrow, I think.
Today.
Is it today?
It's today on the 8th.
Yeah. Oh, lovely. So, you know, the book is Dealing with Divas and Other Difficult Personalities, A Mindful Approach to Improving Relationships in Your Business or Organization. You can just remember the Dealing with Divas and you probably can find it. Laura Baxter, that will get you there too. But I want to give you a chance, Laura, to give a sort of a wrap up, you know, a last minute thought, if you have one that you want to leave people with. And we're going to talk at the end a little bit more about your gift. But if there's anything more you really want to get in there about your book, please do that. This is your opportunity.
Oh, thanks. I just want to thank you very much and thank your audience, all those great moms out there that I have the opportunity to be here. And next week, as we know, is also Mother's Day. So, we will also be celebrating Mother's Day here in Germany, and I hope that all of you have a wonderful, wonderful day and understand how so very important it is. This motherhood and the work, but really all the joy also that we have in being able to be parents, being able to be moms, is so important. So I wish you all the best. We've got a couple of little gifts. I hope you like them. Today, starting today, the Kindle book is going on sale. The book itself, the paper book, goes on sale in 2 weeks. But the Kindle book is on sale today, and we've got an offer, a very special offer for the next 2 weeks, that go to Kindle and down you can buy the book this week and next week for free. That means just for these 2 weeks. After that, it's going to be $14.99. So for these 2 weeks, the Kindle book of Dealing with Divas is free for you.
Nice.
And for all those listening who are not listening today on May 8th, for all those listening afterwards, if you buy the book, so it's at, this offer is already over with. If you buy the book, either the Kindle book or the paper book, the paperback, then send us a copy of your receipt. You just need to take a quick picture of it with your phone. Send it to our email address. That all this information Debbie will have for you in the online with this broadcast. Send us a copy of the receipt, and we will send you a link to a webinar that will help you be able help you to go through the book even faster, more effectively, and to be able to really connect with people even stronger than ever before. And one last thing, just for your listeners, Debbie, I've put together some tips and tricks from the stage to your home, how to stay cool as a mom. So just in the stage.
Oh, beautiful. I can't wait. I can't wait to get that. So that the link for that will be available on right on the page. However you're listening to this, if you're on iTunes or something, go to my website, which is empoweringnrg.com. They'll say it again after the show, and go to my website and the podcast page, and there will be the link there along with a little description of the pieces that Laura and I discussed today. So you can easily get that, even if you're listening to this like 2 years from the date that it released.
Exactly.
Okay. Oh, Laura, thank you so, so much for coming on the show. I know from experience, having launched a couple books, this is a very, very busy time for you. And I really appreciate you taking some time to share with my listeners. I just think you've shared such valuable information. I think the book will be very relevant to all of us in different ways. And so I hope everybody will take advantage of the book offer and enjoy your tips and tricks as well. And I'm looking forward to the webinar piece as well. So I'm going to go back in later and buy your book again. And well, the first time it's free, and then buy it, and then and take a listen to the webinar as well. So thank you, Laura. Thank you to the listeners for tuning in. I do hope you have an absolutely beautiful Mother's Day and that you spoil yourself a little bit. I know our kids do their best to spoil us. Our partners do their best to spoil us sometimes, but it's not quite the same as when we take the initiative and say, you know, what do I need? And so I hope you will take that time and give yourself that gift. So with much respect for you and the journey you are on, this is Debbie Pokornik and her guest, Laura Baxter, wishing you a vibrant and powerful day.
You've been listening to Vibrant, Powerful Moms with host Debbie Pokornik. If you've enjoyed this show, please give us a shout out and leave us a positive review. To find out more about Debbie and her sisterhood of Vibrant, Powerful Moms, visit empoweringenergy.com. That's empowering with letters NRG.com.